During the first 6 months of this year, there were more than 6,000 mortgage foreclosures in Wisconsin, and that number is rising quickly. In fact, there could be more than 6,000 foreclosures in Milwaukee County this year alone. We're going to be talking about the issues of foreclosure now with Ken Doran, who is a Madison-based attorney, author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustments, in its second edition, published by Random House. He's been a guest on our program several times. We're really pleased to have him back to talk about this whole foreclosure issue. Ken, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Good morning, Larry. Good to be here.
I've read some and I've heard some on radio and watched a little on TV about this whole process and the reasons for all these foreclosures. But maybe you could talk a little bit about that to begin with. Why the big foreclosure rate?
The increase in the foreclosures represents a couple of things. In large part, the changes in the mortgage market over recent times. Mortgages have changed a lot. Not too far in the past, mortgage lenders tended to be about the most conservative lenders there were. They would not lend more than a certain percentage of the property, and that rose over time. But generally, people needed a down payment to buy a property. Interest rates tended to be fixed. Loans tended to be made by a local bank or savings and loan that would handle the mortgage throughout its career. That has changed a lot. The mortgage has become more complex in terms of who the lenders are, in terms of how the rate structures work. And into that situation, we're now getting a downturn in real estate values, which more than anything will cause foreclosures.
Yeah. And the foreclosure process in Wisconsin, how does that work?
Well, let me talk just a bit about a Wisconsin home mortgage foreclosure, and each of those words is important. If you're not in Wisconsin, a lot of the details will be different. If the property is not the owner's home, or it's being foreclosed on something like a land contract or a tax lien rather than a regular mortgage, that also makes a difference. But on a home mortgage foreclosure, that is begun by a lawsuit. So a lawsuit, basically like any other, filed in a circuit court in a particular county, naming the lender as the plaintiff who's bringing the lawsuit and the owners and any other lien holders as defendants. That is served on the defenders, the property owners. Can't be done by mail, must be done in person, often by a sheriff's deputy or a private process server, if necessary, by publication of a notice. That gives the owner 20 days to respond, much as with any lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And if occasionally it may be disputed, could be that the owner made the payments and the mortgage holder lost them. It's just not right. And that can be contested. That's fairly rare in foreclosures. Usually the payments were missed. Mm-hmm. And that 20 days goes by and the owner doesn't challenge it, then the lender can and will get a foreclosure judgment. That starts 6 months of what's called a redemption period, during which the owner still owns the property, can still pay off the mortgage or sell or refinance, may very well be able to negotiate a catch-up even in that time. But if that 6 months goes by and nothing has happened to resolve it, then the property will be sold at a sheriff's auction and finally approved by the court. And whoever bought it at the auction, which is very often the lender itself, then becomes the owner of the property.
Okay, so it's the process itself, it's more than 6 months goes by, I would.
From the time the papers are served, it's a minimum of 8 or 9 months and sometimes closer to a year.
Wow. What does it take to get a lawyer hired by the lender to get involved in this?
More and more of the foreclosures are done by specialist firms. There are some firms that do a very high volume of it because more and more of the foreclosures are by large national companies. That's one of the changes in the markets that we've seen, and they tend to be standardized and done by firms that specialize in it. So that's not always the case. You see some still coming through that are on loans done by a local financial institution and filed by a local lawyer who also does the other kind of work for that institution.
Yeah. I was thinking about the last few home loans I've had. Mine have all been fixed loans, but even so, virtually every one, the last three or four, have been almost immediately sold to somebody else.
That is true, and that's one of the issues here. Not only are mortgages more frequent than they were in the past, they tend to be more complicated because there are issues of figuring out exactly who the lender is, and they have more complicated structures, and they are sold, and the servicer is usually not the owner, the servicer being the organization that processes the paperwork and accepts the payments is usually no longer the actual lender, and figuring out who the actual lender is can be a challenge. And that can give rise to legal issues and may be grounds for disputing a mortgage. But then again, it's rarely a solution to the whole problem, even if you force a lender to go back and do a better job of dotting their I's and crossing their T's in those kind of legal issues. If the owner still owes the money and still can't pay it, the final result may not change.
Yeah. Ken Doran, our guest today, Madison-based attorney, author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment. It's published by Random House. As we talk with him about the issues surrounding foreclosure, you may have a question about it as well, and we certainly invite those questions. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and we'd love to hear from you. Tell me the difference. There's a foreclosure judgment and a default judgment. Now, what's the difference again on that?
A default judgment simply means one that is granted by the court when no one has formally contested
it. Okay, so that's after the 20 days.
Yes, and as a practical matter, the majority of foreclosure judgments are done by that kind of a default. If the owner of the property does file the right kind of response and says, no, I really did pay it, or no, this isn't the company that I really owe my mortgage to, or contested in some other way, then it may come down to a decision by a judge, and there, even if the foreclosure judgment is granted, it would not be classified as a default judgment.
Yeah. And the switching around, just before we go to the phones, I remember one instance where I had they had switched, and I had made a payment to company number one, but company number two was saying, well, no, where's that money? And I paid that to the other company, and it took about, I don't know, 3 months or so to get that straightened out so that I had to cancel the check and everything. So, but it still was a big headache.
And it gets lots worse, especially when people have multiple mortgages, which tends to be more common, and throw in rate adjustments. The complexities can be pretty severe.
Shane in Tigerton, it's your turn. Hi, Shane.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm wondering about, as far as resale value, what's the best way to go about purchasing some of these foreclosed homes? Is it best to wait to go to the sheriff's auctions or try to get them before they go that far, or, to buy them and then, paint them, fix them up, any siding, roofing, things that may need to be done, and then set them up for resale value?
Any kind of a purchase out of a foreclosure, you have to make all the same decisions you would if you were buying any other in any other way, whether this is a good value, one you can make a profit on. And besides, you do have some complexities of dealing with getting a clear title to the property. Up until the time the foreclosure sale occurs and is approved by the court, the owner still owns it and can sell it to you if you can pay off the liens in the process. A third party can bid at a foreclosure sale. Tends not to happen that often because usually the property is mortgaged for its full value and the mortgage company will buy it up to the value of their mortgage because they don't need to put in any more money to do that, but it can be bought by a third party. Or the third way is a high percentage of foreclosures that do go to a final sale are bought by the lender, and then they have to turn around and resell it. So you may be able to buy it from the lender who will typically list it with a real estate broker the way anybody else did. They're all different, and they can all be pretty technical. It requires some legal and business savvy to do any of those, especially the first two.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Shane, for calling. Dick in Madison, hello to you.
Good afternoon. I'd like to know what happens to the equity the homeowner may have in the house if it's foreclosed. I'll take my answer offline.
Thank you. So if there's equity in the home and the home, you know, the homeowner's made some payments. What happens to that equity?
Well, it can disappear very easily. Properties don't tend to bring good prices at a foreclosure sale. It can happen. The owner can get money back out of a sale. If the mortgages are not for the full value of the property and one or more other buyers come in and pay a price at the auction more than the amount of the mortgage is, then some money can go back to the owner of the property. Not that common and not a good way to get a good price. And anyone who is facing foreclosure has to make some fundamental decisions early on. If you're being foreclosed and you do have some actual value in the property, meaning you realistically can sell it, pay the liens, and put money back in your pocket, then you need to decide whether you want to fight to keep that property and in the process reduce and maybe eliminate that equity, or whether you want to get out there and sell it. And you have to decide early on, because that takes some time. From listing a property to closing a sale, 2 months is very fast. That's a very fast sale. 3 to 5 months isn't too bad either. So even on a 9-month cycle, you don't have too much time to wait around if you're going to try and do a sale.
Ken Doran, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the issue of home foreclosures now with Ken Doran, Madison-based attorney, author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment, published by Random House in its second edition. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you listening in. If you have a question, we hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Al in Rochester, Minnesota has been waiting online, so let's go to Al. Al, hi, thank you for waiting.
How are you doing?
Good.
Say, my question is, my property's currently in foreclosure, and I have contacted a lawyer and to see if I can't get it, you know, avoid the sheriff's sale. And now, my problem was is my wife did not pay for the mortgage unbeknownst to me for the past 5 months. And I was wondering now, is there a lot of hope in saving this, or am I taking the right steps? You know, he has contacted the mortgage company, but because of the wildfires out in California, they've been gone for the past week.
Well, Ken, what about it?
Is the property in Wisconsin or Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Well, as that does change things. Every state has its own laws, and I don't really know much about the Minnesota law, so I have to rely on your lawyer there. It may be similar. In Wisconsin, the answer would be, you've got, well, how long before the sale?
Would be the end of the end of November. Now, I did contact the lawyers that is on the foreclosure papers,
okay,
and they told me it was November the 16th.
Well,
but according to the papers I got served by the sheriff's office, it was November 29th.
Well, best find out. You better check the sheriff's office directly and pin that down. But once you've got your own lawyer, you really need to go through him or her anyway. Basically, it's either make a deal with the lender if you can, or if not, your only alternative may be what's called a Chapter 13 repayment plan through the federal bankruptcy courts, which will often give a homeowner one last chance to catch up a mortgage, even if the lender is not cooperating. Now, it's not magic for everybody. You have to be in a strong enough position that you can both go back to making the current mortgage payments and catch up payments besides. If you can do both of those, that may save the day and may be your only practical alternative.
Mm. Well, that's what he kind of sounded like, too, that it was going to go up to like $1,100. A month from 800. Now, I can do that, but I've kind of financially divorced myself from my wife.
Yeah. Well, it's something then to look into if you can afford it.
If you've already found a lawyer who you're confident knows the issues on this, then I would listen to your lawyer's advice as to what the options are, and they may not be great, but you need to find out what those are and make a decision fairly fast. Obviously, you don't have a lot of time.
In a situation like that, let's say he had 5 months, and apparently it sounded like $800 a month payments, so there's $4,000 in arrears. what if a person went to the mortgage company with a check and said, here's my $4,000, I'm caught up. Does that stop the process or not?
Usually, if you can completely cure the arrearage, that will deal with the process. There's a difference between completely curing it and renegotiating terms. It's not that often. Usually people who are behind are simply not in a position to just simply bring it current. And if you need to negotiate catch-up terms, that makes things a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Al. Appreciate your call. Mark in Columbus, Ohio, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
My question is, what can a person do when the value of their home was actually over... It was actually inflated to get a refinance done, and now the person is about to be foreclosed on. I mean, the value of the house, even if the mortgage company was to foreclose on the house, there's no way that the house's estimated value was bought for $119,500, and it was probably worth $125,000, so it was a good deal for the buyer. But now... they've gotten the mortgage up to like $240,000.
Oh.
To refinance it. And I forget the name, the legal name, but they call it, but they've been duped.
Well, if people have actually been defrauded, then that brings in a whole other set of issues and need to be able to sort through what happened and pin that down and find a lawyer who handles those types of cases. But people who get appraisals do it for their own purposes. And when there's people in the process who are making money off a higher value of the property, that happens. And what I would say to a homeowner is, you've got to be the captain of the ship. And you've got to know what your property is worth and have some sense of whether an appraisal is really accurate or not. There are ways to find out what your home is really worth. You find out what properties in your area are selling for, or make a few calls to people who are not involved in your transaction. And if you're trying to refinance and suddenly somebody turns up with an appraisal that really just isn't probably right in terms of what your house is actually worth, beware. It may be getting you into a loan you can't afford, that the property will not maintain, and lead you to grief down the road. These things are all more complicated than they used to be.
Yeah, that is definitely for sure. I suppose one way to look at it is in terms of a value, certainly as you say, homes, what are they selling for around you, but also you just look at your assessment, your assessed value of your property. Is that a good...
It helps. Wisconsin has a pretty good system where... counties are required to provide an equalized assessment based on true market value. In some states, these can be all over the map. Things are done at artificial ratios. That is a decent starting point. It's not always the final word, especially when you have a declining market or rapidly rising market, but it's a good start. But with the internet and other tools these days, or simply making some phone calls and asking around, it shouldn't be that hard to get a decent handle on what your property is really worth. And if somebody is throwing inflated numbers at you,
beware.
Hold on to your wallet.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Ken in Oshkosh, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just some warnings for folks who go into foreclosure. In my case, before the hearing was even held, a servicing company broke into my house, changed the locks. I was out of the house for 8 days. The police, I had to actually force a county sheriff's deputy to take a report on the break-in because the police said it was a civil matter. Also, people ought to be aware, at least in my county, they have no right, unless they have a lawyer, to be in on the actual hearing. That so to speak, cinches the foreclosure. Luckily, without even knowing this, I got a lawyer the day before, so I had a little bit more leverage than most people, but I didn't even realize that the day I went up there, and the lawyer essentially told me, she said, you wouldn't even be in there if you didn't have a lawyer. So things can happen in this process, and you're not going to have much help from the authorities.
Hmm. Ken, has that been your experience?
There's several issues in there, and some I don't know about, couldn't tell without really understanding what happened in your case. But that's one thing, is that in the process of a foreclosure, if the property is genuinely abandoned, there's usually something in the court order that says the foreclosure company can go in and take over the property. What gets tricky is when the owner may be no longer living there and may have moved the furniture out, but still wants to try and sell it and maintain control of it. And lenders have been known to be a bit trigger happy about jumping in and changing locks. If so, if you don't already have a lawyer at that point, I would really recommend getting one, because you're getting into some heavy going as far as that. But if you really still own the property and they've made a mistake, then you're fully justified in going back in and continuing to maintain your property, and need to notify the lender at that point, no, this is not yours. But that's one of the many complications that can arise, and why I think anybody facing a foreclosure really ought to find a lawyer. This is a large, important lawsuit, and even if a lawyer can't change the outcome for you, there's a lot of things you need to know about what's going on. There's an expense involved, which is a problem, and unfortunately, there may be no one single person you can go to who will tell you everything you need to know about every aspect of foreclosure. Even a good lawyer usually isn't going to be able to help you with refinancing. The best mortgage broker or mortgage advisor probably isn't going to know all that much about the legal process. But that's just the way the world works, and you need to go out and get all of the services you need to really understand what's going on.
And Ken, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Have open lines. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Someone else wondered about the pluses and minuses of land contracts in these cases.
Well, the land contract would arise as an option back at the time the loan was made or the property was bought. So by the time you get to a foreclosure, it's either one or the other, and there's no way to change in midstream. A land contract is a situation where instead of Mr. Seller deeding the property to Mr. Buyer, who borrows money from somewhere on the property, instead Mr. Seller enters into a contract where that says after so Mr. Buyer will make payments, and after so many years, then Mr. Seller will deed over the property. Now, if that's done as a land contract, legally it's treated almost the same as if it had been a sale and a mortgage. Okay. The buyer has pretty much the same rights and control as in the property, and the seller is more or less in the same position as a mortgage holder would be. However, it changes some of the legal rules involved. A foreclosure of a land contract can sometimes proceed faster than a mortgage. They tend to be used a lot of times, well, within families or close relationships like that, or in tough times for financing, which is more or less the opposite of what we had in recent years, but did happen in the 80s. It may be the only way to get a deal done because the third-party financing just isn't available.
Maybe we could talk a little bit more about some of the, before we go back to the phones, about some of the practical decisions that a person has to make. Do you sell? Do you refinance? Do you try and write it out? These are all real practical things that a person has to think about.
Sure. If you've had a foreclosure filed against you, that's nature's way of saying there is a serious problem here with that house and your mortgage and your future in that property. As we've discussed, you do have at least 9 months or so for the process to run its full course, and that seems like a long time. It's not really in terms of figuring out your basic options. I would say that the homeowner in that situation needs to think hard and clearly early on about what the choices are. Do I genuinely have some value in this house, which may be lost if I let it go through foreclosure, and if I'm going to try and sell it, really ought to get going sooner rather than later? If I don't have value in it, or it's so little that it's not going to be practical to get it back out, then one option is ride out the process. You are entitled to stay there through that 9 months plus and essentially live there rent-free and save up the money for whatever comes next, whether it's renting or finding a way to get into another property. If you don't face up to that decision and make a choice early on, you run the risk of getting the worst of all of the options. You may be putting out money trying to catch up the mortgage but never really achieve it. put a lot of effort into trying to sell the property without having thought through of whether you can do a sale that will put money back in your pocket. The options are complicated, but they don't get any better. The sooner you sit down and think it through and make the hard decisions, the better the choices are going to be, or maybe only all bad choices, but the less bad the choice will be.
Let's go to Spence in Campbellsport next. Spence, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if that process is different for an owner-occupied residence as opposed to a non-owner-occupied residence. Specifically, I have a friend who's experiencing some problems with a vacation property up north, and long story made short, it was in a partnership. The partnership broke up. The payments were not made, and now that action has started. Is that a quicker process, or is that the same as residential foreclosure?
Where the property is not owner-occupied, it often moves a bit faster. Farms are yet another category, and they may even be a bit slower. But if it's an investment property, a second home that is not the owner's primary home, the foreclosure can move along faster. If there's a partnership involved, that may complicate the title to the real estate, and that's a whole other layer of considerations. Most of what we're talking about more or less assumes you've got one owner and one mortgage holder. That's often not the case. If you've got multiple owners or a partnership or multiple mortgages, all of those throw new factors into the process that have to be sorted through.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks, Spence, for calling. Mike in Black River Falls, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question was, if you file bankruptcy, is it better to do it before a sheriff's sale or after?
Well, if you're going to file a Chapter 13 reorganization to try and save the property, generally better to do that as soon as possible because the interest just mounts up and makes it harder as time goes on. There's no point in waiting. Can be done right up to the very end of the process and have done that sometimes successfully, but the sooner the better. If you are facing foreclosure and also need to file a bankruptcy and have sorted out with your lawyer, you're doing both, and you want to maintain your rights in the property as long as possible, then you may want to consider filing the bankruptcy either before the judgment is granted at the beginning of the case or before the sheriff's sale toward the end of the case, which will somewhat extend the process. It won't really change the course of events much otherwise, but if an extra 1 to 3 months makes a difference to you, that may have that result.
Mm, interesting. Thanks, Mike. Lynn in Appleton, hi to you.
Hello, how are you today?
Good.
Great. The question I have is in regards to a sheriff's deed, and if a property is in foreclosure and I'm told that it is a sheriff's deed, what exactly does that mean? And I believe there are some risks associated with that. What could potentially be those risks, and is there a way to research what those risks are before you go through with the purchase?
Well, the sheriff's deed is what happens to convey the property. When you actually do go all the way through a foreclosure and the old owner never signs off but is taken out of the picture by the foreclosure process and judgment, the piece of paper that passes along the property is a sheriff's deed because the sheriff says, I sold this at auction and under my rights under the law, I'm deeding the property over. Generally, that it creates title issues like anything else. I don't know that I can give you any simple answer. If you're buying any property, you need really to do one of two things. These days, far and away the most common one is you buy title insurance, which means a specialized company looks at all the papers and says, we're satisfied there's no problems here, and we'll guarantee the title, and if they turn up, we'll make it good. We'll pay the value of any competing claims on it. The old way, which still occurs to some extent, is to have a real estate lawyer look at the title and examine all of these angles and give you a written opinion that there's no loose ends out there. And that process works about the same if you're buying out of a sheriff's deed as any other kind of property. There can be problems either way, and you need to do one of those two things to protect yourself.
So the insurance sounds like the the prudent way to go, because that's guaranteeing.
Well, that's what that insurance is for. It insures you against adverse claims to the property. The person you bought it from was an imposter, or there was some previous mortgage or deed that was never really cleared up the way it was supposed to be, all those kinds of things.
Yeah. Thanks, Lynn.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. That actually happened to a friend, a couple that where there was a something way back or along the line, and they had their mortgage insurance, their title insurance rather, and the company had to cover that cost. So it worked out very well for them, and it was money very well spent. Jerry in Viroqua, it's your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I own a timeshare, a week of a timeshare in Florida. The taxes and the fees, the maintenance fees, are becoming a burden. I don't use it anymore. The market is very bad. What are the disadvantages of simply walking away from that and letting it be foreclosed on?
Well, difficult to say. It's different from most of what we've been talking about for a couple of reasons. One, it's not in Wisconsin, and every state has its own laws, and I don't claim to know much about Florida's laws. Timeshares can be set up different ways as to exactly what your rights are, of whether you own real estate rights or
have
some...
Have a deed for it.
Well, okay. Even so, you probably ought to look into whether there's any chance of selling it. Those are often hard to turn around at a reasonable price. The answer is, if you walk away, is I honestly don't know. Depends on what you signed. If you're on the hook for a loan on it that is separate from your ownership rights, then walking away...
It's been paid for. There's no loan on it.
Okay, in that case, probably you have very little exposure on it as far as walking away. However, it would be a prudent thing to do to track down a lawyer in Florida who knows this subject and can give you a better opinion on it, because I certainly can't guarantee that. There may be tricks or traps to it or fees you might still be liable for. And I would recommend making that investment before you actually make the decision to do that.
Yeah, I'm worried about irreparably damaging my credit.
Yeah.
Well, credit, it's yet a whole other subject that is another layer on this as well, but you probably ought to be concerned about it.
Okay.
You ought to be more concerned about the dollars and cents part of it. The last thing you want to do is just walk away from it without out researching it the best you can and find you are liable for some sort of taxes or fees that you simply didn't consider at the time.
I got it. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. So, Ken, here we've got 6,000 home mortgage foreclosures already in Wisconsin this year, probably more than that, actually, with another
who knows.
And I guess as a final word on this, what's your final piece of advice to people?
My advice would be, if you find yourself facing a foreclosure, consider your options in a realistic, hard-headed way early on. Get good advice. You may need more than one advisor. I strongly recommend taking those foreclosure papers to a lawyer and finding someone who can give you good advice about that aspect of it. And depending on what you decide you want and can to do, you may also need to find a mortgage broker or mortgage advisor or other professional. But don't let it wait. The options don't get better. The earlier you take a hard look at it, the better chance you have of getting a good result, or at least limiting the damage.
Ken, thanks a lot for being with us. Look forward to your next visit. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Ken Doran, Madison-based attorney and author of Personal Bankruptcy and Debt Adjustment. It's in its second edition and published by Random House, and really appreciate him taking the time to be with us today. And let you know, tomorrow we've got Garden Talk coming up, and of course Bruce Allison, our professional arborist, will be along to talk about tree and shrub care. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.